Fizz Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report on making inclusionary zoning in the U.S., Canada, and the United Kingdom really work. In New York City recently, there was some guarded optimism among affordable housing advocates when the City Council passed modifications requested by Mayor Bill de Blasio to improve the inclusionary zoning requirements. The new rules would hold developers responsible for providing 20 to 30% of all units as affordable housing to families at 40 to 80% of the median income in the city. Unfortunately, not all developments will be under these rules, but only those where the developer is asking for a rezoning on height or density from the city. Earlier, the city had modified the ordinance so that such developers could not copy the Mumbai scheme and create separate entrances, lobbies, and amenities, or even separate abutting buildings, which is allowed by the Bombay Municipal Corporation. In Toronto, exclusionary zoning is now a front-burner issue because the province of Ontario is transferring the inclusionary zoning authority to the city in 2017. Acorn was able to get Councillor Mike Layton to move a motion through the council for the city's research staff to develop options for how the city could most effectively implement such zoning practices once the opportunity arrives. John Anderson, Acorn Canada's lead organizer in Toronto, is gearing the campaign to be ready and waiting with a best practices proposal. In London, the mayor scoffed at any requirements that would restrain developers around separate entrances, and in council after council, as social housing is being converted and new developments are being constructed, affordability is being defined as a percentage not of median income, but of market rate. Given the explosion in rental prices in London, market rate has not been a slippery slope for tenants, but a mountain climb, essentially pricing low and moderate income families out of the market of even so-called affordable units produced through inclusionary zoning. Acorn in the United Kingdom is looking with great interest at inclusionary zoning as a potential national campaign that can be won locally, given how critical the issue of affordable housing is in all of our cities. Head organizer Stuart Melvin noted that the escape hatch that developers have run battalions through in England is basically a cooking the books funny money scheme. As described in The Guardian, under Section 106, also known as planning gain, developers are required to provide a certain proportion of affordable housing developments of more than 10 homes, ranging from 35 to 50%, depending on the local authority in question. Developers who claim their schemes are not commercially viable when subject to these obligations must submit a financial viability assessment explaining precisely why the figures don't stack up. In simple terms, this assessment takes the total cost of a project, construction, professional fees, and profit, and subtracts them from the total projected revenue from selling the homes, based on current property values. What's left over is called the residual land value, the value of the site once the development has taken place, which must be high enough to represent a decent return to the landowner. It is therefore in the developer's interest to maximize this projected cost and minimize the projected sales values to make its plans appear less profitable. With figures that generate a residual value not much higher than the building's current value, the developer can waive evidence before the council that the project simply can't wash its face if it has to meet an onerous affordable housing target while at all the time safeguarding their own profit. In Bristol, Acorn noted that they had three major developments in our neighborhoods where it looks like the developer is going to get away with a 0 to 7% affordable units, and the 7% only after a fight by local activists. Developers make their money by building castles in the sky and then using sleight of hand when the reality starts rising from the ground. They routinely play fast and loose around the finances to get the job done because their incentive is to get out as soon as the paint dries. Too many politicians and too many places are relying on their contributions to pay their bills to win public office, making them very weak advocates for tenants. It's hard to believe such a partnership will produce accountability on affordable housing without a fight. This is a battle to the death to see if we can win enough affordable housing to be able to exercise our rights to the city or whether we'll be forced out completely. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.